Okay, we're going to get rolling, okay? Some people will drift in. So we just covered walking like the Gentiles are walking. We're not going to do that, right? Their understanding's dark and they're alienated from the life of God. Because do you understand? Oh, are you serious? Do you understand that you can't love if you're not born again? Because God is love. And it's love's not an emotion. Love is amazing. Love is not selfish. If you don't know Jesus, you can't live that way. I mean, you can have things that look like love. You can have great character, a person that's born again. I've seen people in certain circles treat people better in their circle than some people did at their churches. And then the world kind of uses that against Christians sometimes. But true love, the true love of God. You can't love. That's why I would never do a wedding. I used to never do weddings unless they were born again. And that was weird because how do you get them born again or make them get born again or have them pray a prayer so they qualify you? Because it's a heart thing, right? But you can't love unless you're born again. So the Gentiles are alienated and darkened. Their understanding. Why? Because they're alienated from the life of God. Isn't that amazing? Wasn't that you and me before we got born again? We were dead inside. That's why he breathed into his disciples to put life back inside of them, just like God breathed into the dirt in Genesis. It's so amazing. So let me just jump in. This is where we were at verse 19, being past feeling, have given themselves over to all the solutions. Now watch, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. Listen to this language. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Man, that's rich. So watch. So if I'm on my bed sitting reading this, or I'm just sitting at my table reading this, or I'm just sitting on a park bench reading this, or wherever I might be, every time I'm reading this stuff that touches my heart. You ever read in scripture and the thing kind of speaks to you, touches your heart a little? Do you ever read and be like, oh man, that's good, or wow, that's amazing, or wow, you really see me that way? You ever do that? Talk straight to him right when that happens. Don't just think in your mind. Don't just read and think to get Bible knowledge. Read to know him. Read to know him. The Lord told me a long time ago, now this doesn't go for everyone. My pastor back home, he does a lot of notes in preparation for his sermons. He does a lot of back study on stuff. But I just get up and pour out my heart and I just go with relationship with God and things that are real to me. But he told me that a long time ago. He said, I'm going to put revelations of my love and righteousness in you. You're going to speak to many of my people. And I was like, what? And I was just days old in the Lord. And he said, however, I don't ever want you to read your Bible to preach a sermon. He said, only ever read your Bible to know me and only ever speak out of who I am in your life. And that'll carry weight. So that's what I do. That's why I'm passionate. That's why I have to fight back tears. That's why I get flaky looking sometimes. That's because it's real to me. I'm not preaching my doctrine or theology to you. I'm opening up my life in God to you. You get it? It's this big deal. So when you're reading these things and you say that, you know, he says this and he said, you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You could just take a minute and just sit and just acknowledge that the truth's in Jesus. And I honor you, King Jesus. And Holy Spirit, help me to continually see the person, the character, the perspective and the motive of King Jesus in every situation. So as I was growing in these things that I preach all the time, I remember scrolling through the Gospels and just looking at how Jesus handled people, how people treated him, how he always responded. I mean, some of the most, he'd correct them at times, but not in a way like we're familiar with. He'd just do it with his words to get their hearts convicted. But usually right after a time where they're trying to trick him, berate him, come against him, he's always doing something good, healing somebody or a miracle. And it's like, he's so amazing. Like, he's not like kicking the dirt, saying, why don't people like me? He's not like, man, how much good does a guy have to do before they finally see you're good? He's not sitting talking with the disciples by a fireplace or a campfire saying, you know, guys, I just need you guys to really get behind me and support me and start praying for me. I'm just feeling a little, I just got a lot on my plate. I mean, I'm thronged every day and I got this and that. And then I hear their thoughts and a lot of them are saying bad things. And I don't know. I'm just having a hard time dealing with this. How can Jesus live and not be affected by all that stuff and stay the same and keep doing good? We say, because he was Jesus. And we miss the whole point. It's because he was love. So simple. So when you see scriptures like, you start thinking that way, amused that way, and you see how I preach, it's not my fault. Like, I'll turn you to Ephesians 4 and then I'll preach everywhere else. It's because that's what happens when I'm sitting on my bed. Like, I'll read a line in Ephesians 4 and it'll trigger my heart, and 15 minutes later, after communing with God and weeping and musing through four other sections of scripture and all of a sudden painting this beautiful thing, now I'm back to Ephesians 4 and I just went for a visit somewhere else. It's just like, so that happens when I get up and preach. It's what happens. It gets big. I mean, I would take communion for a season of my life, and a couple months in, I was 45 minutes in, 36 scriptures later, and still didn't take the bread. It was so powerful. Holy Spirit just kept showing me what his body accomplished, the power of his flesh given. A man at the right hand of God and a man's blood on the mercy seat. I'll just be all these scriptures. I just said, and at some point, and now I got the cup, the blood of the new covenant. And we're already 45 minutes in. It was a really good season. Holy Spirit called me into it. He said, I will show you these things. I just took it every day. That's pretty cool. Here we go. Verse 22, the truth in Jesus. Verse 21, watch, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, who would agree with me? This isn't a trick question. Set up a little bit, but not a trick question, but a little bit of a setup. Who would believe the Bible is absolutely, completely true? Yeah, so if he's telling you that you are to put off your former conduct, he's talking about motives, reasons for being and actions. Why? Because those things will only grow corrupt and create more and more deceitful lust. So what's he saying? Let me ask you this. Is there any place, according to what he's writing, to bring the old into the new or bring the new into the old? Wow. Not giving you the opportunity to grow. But be careful with that whole, but brother, I'm processing. We already talked about growing up into him in all things. So we are growing. We are continuing to teach. We are going after something. But be real careful with that word. Well, I'm processing, brother. And you're not really going after him, surrendering, yielding, communing. Because 5 years later, not a whole lot of change and we're processing. God's working with me. Don't do that to yourself. That's a cop out. Just talking plain. If you get frustrated with me, you're already giving away. So you're already, you just shouldn't even get mad at what I'm saying. If you don't agree with what I'm saying, why do you have to get mad? You shouldn't even get mad. Why can't we disagree with our spouse and not have tension? Why do we have to always have tension when we don't agree? Because we're still selfish in ways and don't even realize it. The tension should expose that I need my way. We're not always going to agree on things, but we don't have to get mad, and you don't have to get into manipulation, control, and power play. Just a silent treatment, man. People do it in their homes. They convey their attitude to the rest of their family with a silent treatment. And you're just revealing you don't know Jesus like we sing. You know about him, but he hasn't been an effective expression in your life because he would never do that. Could you picture the disciples walking with Jesus and he's just... And Peter, feeling a little unsure, Lord, are you okay? James and John, bringing their mother. Could one sit at your right, one of your left? You don't even know what you're asking. Bam. Peter and John, or James, Peter, John and James. Ooh. Ooh. You ever watch the the Matthew video, they're nervous in the background. James and John are like, wow, we blew it here, bringing mom over and asking this. We shouldn't ask this. Could you imagine for the next 4 hours, Jesus just treating them quiet? Making them pay. Letting them know just how he feels about their presumptuous question. Never going to happen. Because on the video, Matthew video is really good. They're in the background. You remember where they're acting really? And he walks over as he's correcting them. And he kisses him on the forehead. And he hugs the other and he rubs the shoulder as he's correcting them, saying, love you guys, affirm you. He's not 2 hours later giving them the silent treatment. You know how spouses are notorious for that, right? Hey, you okay, honey? What? What's wrong? Nothing. Come on, I've known you long enough to know you're just something's wrong. Nothing. No, I'm fine. It's called control and manipulation. Okay, let's go back to this conduct thing. That's what we're kind of talking about, isn't it? Put off those former conduct things. That's why there's no place for it in your homes, your lives. You put it off. How do you put it off? You put it off in prayer, people. You don't put it off by trying harder. Guys, you put it off in prayer. You sit and you read stuff like this and you say, wow, I so thank you that the truth's in you, Jesus. Man, you put life in me. God, I just thank you that I am not the person I used to be. The things that used to drive me no longer. I thank you I'm dead to flesh, dead to just life in the flesh. I thank you that nobody owes me anything, God. And now you just got the Bible on your lap, and now your hands are up high. And I just thank you, God, that I am a brand new person in you. And Father, I thank you for the freedom. And if there's an area that keeps trying to bite you and grab you, don't keep running to an altar and say, I need a spirit of anger cast off of me. Do what Colossians 3 says and put it off. So you're sitting on your bed. Father, I thank you. I'm not driven by anger because I'm not driven by selfishness. Father, I have no need to be right in any man's life. Father, I thank you that if there's a disagreement, it doesn't have to touch me with passion. Lord, I am not threatened by others. I'm fulfilled in you. God, I just thank you that anger has no place, voice, or expression within my life. God, I just thank you for the change you've brought to me. That's how you get free. Yeah? Put off, put on. Put off, put on. Colossians says, put off the old man and his deeds, put on the new man, renewed in knowledge according to his image. He's in Christ. Same language in Ephesians. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your... You sit on your bed. Father, I just thank you. If you feel like you're really struggling with selfishness, Father, I just thank you for my whole life without even realizing I just live for me. It's so evident to me now. Man, even when I said I love you, it was all about what I received from it. God, I thank you that no man owes me a thing. I thank you that the days of selfishness have ended. You have so abruptly come into my life and exposed these things. And God, you're bringing great change. Just talk and pray and commune. I would pray that you spend way more time in this arena than anything else in your life. I will say this, you can come to this school, you can go to every conference that's happening in America and the world, but if you miss this place, you'll miss the whole thing. Please don't cheat yourself or deceive yourself and think by being in all the right places and sitting under all the right things is going to make everything right. It's you being with him. Knowing him is eternal life, not getting more knowledge about him. Knowing him. And I know this school's intention is that you might know him. Yeah? It's so important to us. I know it's important to Todd. It's important to me. It's the number one thing. You might not know this. We don't tell this story much. But before he started traveling, He worked at a nice plant. He was thinking of moving to go work under a ministry. And he asked me what I thought. And I said, I'm not saying anything. You need to know. He respected me. If I gave him any insight, it would have influenced him, whether right or wrong. And then if he goes and it's not working out like he thought, he wouldn't have the faith to weather it. Why, man, I thought Dan said I'm supposed to be here. Whatever. I said, you need to know. But in my heart, as soon as he said it, I knew he wasn't to do it. But I wouldn't dare say that, because he had to go or not go on his faith. Because he couldn't not go and then think he missed something a year later and say, I don't know why I listened to Dan. I should have went. Some decisions people need to make, they have to find their own faith in them. Don't be real quick to give advice. Because I gave you zero advice. He came to me and said, hey, he was at the ministry. They were looking at houses. They were living in a, I think still in a trailer at that time. And Jackie got to taste some houses. Come on, she could get bit by the house bug. And all of a sudden, Todd's in his room, and here's in the Lord, you're not supposed to do this. And he called me crying and said, man, I just heard from the Lord. We're not supposed to. Everybody's like, wow, Todd's moving to so-and-so. And he said, we're not supposed to do this. And I'm like, yeah, in my heart. You know, he said, you knew, didn't you? I said, yeah, I knew. He said, man. And I said, you had to know. And we talked, and I said, here's what I want to run by you. And we sat down. Do you remember sitting talking? I said, I want you to write down what you make at the ice plant and what you bring home a month. Because I don't want you thinking finances at all. And he said, why? He wrote it down. This is what I bring home a month. You have to understand, he's never held a job in a drug life. He's always been in need of money, and he used to steal from Jackie's earned money. Now he's working, and I said, you show me what you have. I didn't have a ton of money, but the Lord told me to do this. So I said, I'm going to bring you in under Neck Ministries. And I'm going to pay you per month what you'd be making if you were at the ice plant, so it's not like you're not working. He said, I'm like going to be an employee. You're going to like hire me on Neck Ministries? And I said, well, you're not going to do nothing for Neck Ministries. He said, why? Well, why are you doing this? I said, I want you to go be with him. Because I see God's about ready to send you out. And you have to be ready. And he said, what? I said, Jackie manages that hotel. Just get a room. An empty room, and go in there Monday to Friday and be with Jesus. And you know what that man did? Monday through Friday, 6, 8, and sometimes as much as 10 hours a day, he'd go in there with his guitar and Bible, close the door, and not come out. Outside my own personal experience in life, I have never seen a man mature, sharpen, and be able to communicate his heart in a 3-month period than him sitting right there. Why? Not because he was doing ministry. Because he has been with Jesus. That's why he cries all the time. That's why his passion's always relationship. That's why it's the priority, I'm sure, of this ministry. That you know him. 3 months. I told him, I'll compensate you. I said, if you start traveling and preaching and people start blessing you and pouring into your life, I said, then that's fine. I said, but up to this amount, I'll cover, so you're never thinking about finances and Jackie doesn't even have to blink. And if X amount comes in and it doesn't equal this amount, I'll make sure we'll just fill. It's just a cushion. It's a practical financial thing, but you need to just go be with Jesus. For 3 months, I watched him do that. And then things broke loose and he started traveling all the time. And I only gave him a compensation for 3 months. And people began to pour into his life and bless. Debts got paid off and God redeemed. And it was beautiful to watch. It did not happen because of his calling alone. It did not happen because of his anointing. It did not just happen because God wanted it to happen. He's been with Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes.
Really important. If it's just because of gifting and ministry, I've come to learn, sadly, there's all kinds of other things involved in people's lives. I've been in green rooms. I don't want to expose too much. It feels too yucky to me. But I've been in too many settings where people that men are thronging to get impartation from don't even have a good view of people. Aren't even loving their wives sometimes. I've been around so much stuff that just breaks my heart because we haven't been with him, we've just been gifted. Jesus is interested in your gift, but he's way more interested in putting who he is inside of you. Okay? I won't go any more there. I'm on thin ice on that one. I can tell I got a back pedal. That you put on the new man. Who's the new man? We just put off the old man. Now we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now we're going to put on who? New man. Who's he? He's created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So now you're too late to talk me out of that I can't walk in righteousness and holiness. Because he said he'll empower that if I'm willing to put it on. So if I sit on my bed when nobody's looking and I yield and say, thank you that you see me as if I've never sinned. Thank you that righteousness is producing its fruit to holiness without me biting my lip. God, I thank you that men don't see deceit in my life or sin in my life. I thank you there's no conveying of darkness in my life. God, let this light so shine. I thank you for turning it up through truth and understanding. I am so glad to be alive in you. And you're just accepting grace. You see what I mean? And all of a sudden, you're not trying to be a Christian. You're not trying to have impact. You're not trying to love. You're not trying to forgive. You're not trying to be okay. Your life's in him. Are you with me? And then the storm comes, has no effect on the house because it's built. Yay. And it's firm on the rock. You get it? This whole thing is trying to stop the kingdom. Make sure you stay in it. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. We're members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. What that really means to me, I'm qualifying that. It doesn't mean people say, well, you know, you get angry, man. You just make sure you don't cross the line of sin. Stop. Stop. If you're angry and it costs somebody their identity, their encouragement, their faith, or their value, in your eyes or theirs, you're across the line. I get angry over topics, situations. Angry, when I mean angry, I mean intense. I get intense over some things sometimes in prayer, and God even lets it come on me. You saw me yesterday when I got on that topic. Did you see that thing come on me? Could you see it come on me? It didn't feel good to me. It felt so intense. It felt almost angry, but I wasn't one bit angry at a person. You see what I'm saying? But I'll tell you, that thing came on me. It was real. So be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Why? Because when you go to bed outside of God, you'll wake up influenced by being outside. Come on, if you slept outside and not in your bed under your roof, you'd have a little dew on you. You'd have some leaves sticking to you. You might have an ant stuck in your hair. You'd have the sign of sleeping outside the house. Are you with me? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Why? Because you give the devil place. You go to bed with a heart that's outside of him. That's why you go to bed with thanksgiving. Don't ever go to bed and just hug your pillow and say, oh, thank God, the day's over. No, that's why you can't get up in the morning. Because you can't face what you barely got through and have no faith for. We call it depression. Wonder if it's just wrong view. Yeah, like, don't just, like, make love to your pillow. You dive in your bed. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, God, and it's the only time you've said God for a while. Oh, God, thank you for the bed. It's not good. You end your day with thanksgiving. Take a little time. Be intentional with it. Stand by your bedside and lift your hands high and thank God for loving you and grace, and that I'm going to sleep and be fresh. And man, I'm trusting I'll wake in the morning. And if you come and get us all, great. But when morning comes, I thank you. It's another gift, another day, and I love you. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. See, you don't let the sun go down in your wrath. You're not giving place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. That's amazing. Look at this. Let no, not some, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good. Here's what I've learned about relationship with God. I used to swear so bad. I worked in a warehouse with 13 guys. The more you swore, the cooler you felt, and the more they thought you were cool. So you'd say 5 vulgar swear words to say 3 English words. That's how you talked in the warehouse. And you'd bleeping and blanking and this and that, and you couldn't even get your sentence out hardly because it was so laced with vulgar curse words. And when I got saved, they were in the lunchroom one day and they said, "You just freak us out so much. Like, it's like you're brainwashed." And I would laugh and say, "My brain has been thoroughly washed." And they'd be like, "Ah!" And they said, "You don't even swear anymore." And I said, "It's amazing you brought that up. Let me tell you something about that." And everybody's listening in the lunchroom. I said, "I never tried not to swear. That would be a New Year's resolution. I just realized it's not in me anymore. Who he is, it's not in the arena of who he is." So as you're filled with the Spirit, as you grow close to him and you put off the things you were, you receive the things he is, and all of a sudden you're not trying not to swear. It's not even in you. And it just grabbed them. They were like, "Whoa," eating their lunch. Because I would pour out my heart. They'd ask me those kind of questions. And I remember a guy years ago came to our church. He was a missionary to Africa. And he said, "You know," he said, "when I got saved," he said, "I was a drunk." He said, "I smoked a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. I this and I swore and I that." And he said, "When I got saved, I don't remember trying to stop smoking and drinking and not." He said, "I just didn't anymore." And I just remember that grabbing me going, "Whoa, sounds really cool." What's he doing? Putting off, putting on, putting off, putting on. Yeah? I know a man that was so gripped by cigarettes, he tried every patch around. His pastor said, "Every time you light one up, if it's bothering you that bad, he said, pray for me. You need to deliver me. Pray." He had oil poured on him. He should have just took a bath in oil. Still lighting him up, man. And his conscience is violated now. So we don't preach, "Hey, you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't drink." We preach Jesus, right? But his conscience is violated. Now he has, that's serious ground, because your conscience violated leads to condemnation. You want to deal with your conscience being violated. So pastor said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "Let me show you Colossians chapter 1. Showed him. He said, "Every time you light a cigarette, you say, 'Lord, I thank you, you've delivered me from the power of darkness.'" He said, "I can't do that when I'm lighting a cigarette." He said, you do that because it's in the Word of God. He said, "If you let your actions keep deciding your life, his actions never will." So when you light up the cigarette, he said, "You mean even if I'm smoking it?" He said, "Thank God you're delivered from the power of darkness, translated in the kingdom of sin." Now, why is this? Some pastors would freak out by this counsel and say, "You're teaching him flat out hypocrisy. Saying one thing, doing another." No, hypocrisy is a game player, a mask wearer. Yes. He's not wearing a mask. He's broken inside. He's tormented in his conscience. He's not. It's not hypocrisy. He's crying for help. So for however long, it wasn't long, for days, which was probably eternity to him in the reality of it. Every time he smoked a cigarette, he would do what his pastor said. He said, "I thank you, Father." He said it was weird. He felt embarrassed. He felt hypocritical. He's smoking a cigarette. "I thank you that I'm delivered from the power of darkness." Translating, I'm sure he didn't do that. He's probably like, probably the hardest cigarettes he's ever smoked. He said, "Father, I just thank you." But there's this thing called addiction. There's this thing in nicotine that when you give yourself to it, the chain of it says, you're mine now, I own you, and I'll drive you, and I'll tell you when and where and what. It's called a yoke. You take this big beast, he's a 1,500-pound, massive muscle beast called an ox, and he could run you over, bust through your house, and crush your car if he thought about it. But they put this yoke on him, and they break his will. They get him to walk in a circle and tread out the grain and do the will of another. And he's a 1,500-pound massive beast, but he's wearing a yoke. And all he can do is the will of another. What's the anointing do? And lift the burden off thy shoulders. So he's praying that, and he's smoking that, and he's praying that, and he's smoking that, and he's out of cigarettes. So he said, you know, what every person that's ever, who's ever tried to stop smoking in their life? Anybody being honest? Who's ever tried to stop smoking and you smoked the last one in your pack and your militant thought was, that's it, I just ain't buying another pack. But then you bought another pack. Yeah. So he said, I just ain't buying no other pack. Well, it was later that day, he's pulling into the convenience store to buy another pack. And he's just disappointed with himself on the surface. He buys the other pack, he sticks it in his shirt pocket, he pumps gas, he's like, God, I just thank you, you've delivered me from the power of darkness. Normally when he buys another pack, he doesn't even notice this. Normally when he buys another pack, he has it open before he's out the door. He's a cigarette in his mouth and lighting it before the door's closing. Anybody that smoked understand what I'm saying, right? He gets in his truck, he's driving down the road, he's talking to the Lord. And all of a sudden he realizes he never opened a pack. And he goes, huh? He got it out and he's like, I never even opened this. And all of a sudden it was like, he had zero desire to open the pack. Zero. Cried and never smoked. At some point, even in that thing of addiction, you gotta put off the old, put on the new. Why? He's not a hypocrite. He's not wearing a mask. He's crying out for truth in his life. His conscience is violated. And I think it was amazing counsel from his pastor. And it wasn't me. Yeah, I didn't want you to think I meant me. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Look at this. Watch this. Verse 31. Watch this. Put off, put on. Let how much? Wow. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger. This almost sounds like perfection. Here's all he's asking us to do. Believe grace is willing to empower us in this arena, but we're willing to put off. We're willing to let all. And let's let grace take us where we can go. Let's become what he paid for and see what that looks like. Yeah. How much bitterness? How much wrath? How much anger? How about loud quarreling and evil speaking? Loud quarreling and evil speaking. All of it? Wow. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving. Sound like anybody you know? Even as God in Christ forgave you. So therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. An offering in fragrance to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, we covered this yesterday, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Do you hear what Paul's writing to the Ephesians? Don't let anybody be in a relationship premarital and have crossed a line and touched sexually. It shouldn't even ever happen and ever be named among you. Don't call it normal and don't think it should happen. Am I making this up or is it here? Isn't it here? Am I preaching condemnation? I'm just preaching the word. So if you cross that line, then that's just true repentance, not I'm sorry, God. Repentance isn't I'm sorry. Repentance is change. Wow, I was fueling my flesh. Wow, I was cross the line. Wow, I was in improper conduct. God, thank you for forgiving me and washing me and empowering me to live just and upright in these things. God, I want to be an example of who you are in my life. And that's what it all boils down to. Everything I've been preaching for 3 days, you have to know in your heart your number one desire is that your life is an example that truly brings him honor and glory, that your life rightly represents him because you want to. That's what we're talking about, guys. So let it not even be named among you. It's not fitting for saints. No, nor is filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting. None of it's fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, anybody living in this manner is not going to walk and partake of the kingdom of God, and the wrath of God is going to come upon the sons of disobedience. Don't let anybody cheat you with empty words. We covered all this yesterday. It's verse 8, and I'm trying to wrap up. I'm minus 5, 6 minutes, so I'm finally going late. For you were once darkness, but now, see, you were once, you were all. That's why we're not self-righteous. That's not, we're not holier than thou. That's why we're not proud. We all relate. We were once on this list. And we didn't do anything to change. He took us off the list. So we saw ourselves off the list and our conduct began to change. This was once you. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have how much fellowship? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. How much fellowship? So it's never permissible, none. You're sanctified, but rather expose them. Why? Because of the light. For it is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. He's talking about people that are Christians. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means carefully. That means with your attention towards your walk. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because life's a gift. You're closer now than you've ever been to that day. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, it's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, melody, merry in your heart, right? Yea, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, yielding and adapting yourselves to one another in the fear and reverence of the Lord. Come on, these things are not just scriptures of old. He is writing to us. He is not just writing to the Ephesians. Why don't you stand to your feet with me, would you please? No, it's okay. You don't have to clap. Just stand to your feet. I read a lot of scripture there, huh? It's there, isn't it? Read these scriptures. I read them to myself every once in a period of while. I flip on the movie The Passion every once in a while just to stay sober. Just to look at a picture of somewhat what it cost him, because it was worse. It was worse than the movie The Passion. but passion's pretty hard to watch.
Yes, that's so true.
I've heard Christians say, oh, I don't watch it, it's too sadistic. No, you ought to watch it. Every Christian should watch it. Stay sober.
Come on, hallelujah.
You know, I'm not being nitpicky when I say this. You know, I didn't talk about it in any of the scriptures, but it's in my heart. I'm going to end with it. It says, I could show you two quick places where a Christian never has permission to complain. Complaining is totally blown out of their life because they're selfless. So just the sheer commonality of complaining in our lives gives away that we haven't really totally understood that we put off and put on. Complaining is a self-centered expression that you're not satisfied with something. Something isn't going your way. I'm not happy. You're a sitting duck for the devil when you live that way. He'll poke you on every angle, especially the more you step out and think you're doing things for the kingdom. He will just shut you down where he finds you weak. You give him no place. And you let the ruler of this world cometh and have nothing in you. Amen? Would you lift your hands to him? And just take a minute right now and just be personal right now before I pray. And just tell him where you stand with these last 3 days and where you stand with this message today. You be a yes before God. You just whisper it in your heart even. You don't have to say it out loud. You just whisper it in your heart. You just tell him, Lord, I want to live all these things. I'm a yes. Teach me. Lead me. Guide me. I'm putting off everything that's old. I want to walk in the new. My life, an example, consistent, a manner worthy of you. Father, I just thank you with hands raised and hearts yielded to you that the great potter would come in this house and continue to mold your children, shape your children. Let the semester of LCU be dynamic for these students. Let them without fail sincerely say, I have received so much and been transformed in so many ways. I feel more consistent, more rock solid, and more set in Christ than I've ever known. Not to boast LCU, to boast your finished work and bring forth your kingdom. Father, I know the heart of this ministry, so I'm not qualified. I thank you that you're doing it. And I thank you you're doing it in us. Holy Spirit, I appreciate you and I ask you to come in a very special, a very personal, and a very intimate way right now. On each and every heart. And I thank you that you would maintain encouragement, healthy perspective, vision, and light. And I thank you for it all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Give a big shout, guys. Come on.